Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Wears Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. Today we want to share a message that I recently had the privilege of preaching at Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church in Knoxville. Now, I am, it's true, a Baptist. In fact, I'm a Southern Baptist. But I preach a lot in other churches, Presbyterian churches, Anglican churches, occasionally even in Baptist churches. And this message, I hope, is going to be a great encouragement to you. It was a joy for me to share this with this congregation, and very grateful for their response. I hope you will find it one that points your heart toward God. He loves you more than you can imagine. Please listen to the good news and believe it. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. The word of the Lord. God tells us in His Word that if we are in Christ Jesus, we really are children of the Father. This means a great deal to me, not only as a believer, but as one who has been called by God to work with children who are for the most part fatherless. Every now and then we have a child who has a father who cares about them, but not a mom who's in the picture or who is able to take care of them. But working with kids from all over the U.S., hundreds of kids now over the years who have come through various kinds of trauma. One of our adopted children whose mom died of cancer when he was a little boy and she was a single parent. As we work with kids from these various difficult home situations, we see again and again that the best families on earth are dysfunctional. Thank you, Pastor. You always encourage my heart. I feel so much better when you speak because it just reminds me of how desperately I need the grace of God. Well, you can't really appreciate the grace of God until you know you need it. And when I say that all families are dysfunctional, I'm including mine. That may not comfort you, but here's the comfort. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. The situation that we presently find ourselves in is not the way it's going to be. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when Christ appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Now that is really good news. Because you see, if Christianity was all about convincing ourselves and others that we've got it all together and that everything's fine, thank you very much. If that was what Christianity was about, we might as well all go home. But Christianity is the glorious truth that Jesus came into a broken world and loved people whose initial response is universally the same, and that is, no thank you, I don't need it, I'm okay, really I'm fine, no problem, nothing to see here, just keep moving. The fact of the matter is, Jesus said, the physician comes for those who are sick. We cannot receive God's grace until we know we need it. Until you know you're a sinner, you're not going to get forgiveness. Because you're going to be still trying to justify yourself and your behaviors and telling everybody that it's okay and really I didn't mean anything by it and it's not my fault. It's somebody else's. I mean, that is human nature going all the way back to the garden. Adam and Eve, remember them? Our first parents? There weren't a lot of rules for them to follow. They could eat the fruit of any of the trees except one. So what did they do? They ate the fruit of that tree, and everything changed. They subsequently had two boys. One of the boys killed the other one. You remember that part of the story? Okay, if that happened on your street, would you say that's a dysfunctional family? Right? That's our family. That's where we come from. All of us inherit a sin nature that makes us inclined toward evil. We start out that way. And God's standard remains unchanged. The rules didn't change after Adam and Eve sinned. But God made a promise. And that promise was that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. So it wasn't Cain who did what needed to be done. Jesus came to save us. And when we realize that we need saving, we're in a good position. When we realize that we have sinned and that our sin is inexcusable, we are in a good position. But it doesn't stop there. That's the preparation. But God is the one who does the saving. And when he saves us, he doesn't just forgive us. But as you've heard before, he places his life in us so that we begin to change from the inside out. And if we are God's children, we are being changed from the inside out. We're not just forgiven. We're not just forgiven. Don't put one of those bumper stickers on your car. We are God's children. And increasingly, he is changing us so that his righteousness is being manifested in and through us. What we're told in this passage is, If this is true, you're God's child. If this is true, you're not God's child. If this is true, then you're a child of the devil. Now, I would imagine that if I were to isolate any one of you and kind of pull you up and say, you are a child of the devil, not only would that person be offended, but probably everybody else in the room would be too.
You're not supposed to judge.
Okay, I agree with that. So let's do this instead. Let's do what the passage says we should do, and that is, I'm supposed to know whether or not I'm a child of God. And you are supposed to know whether or not you're a child of God. This letter is written in order to give us assurance that we have eternal life, if we have eternal life. But if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I'm really not sure, and I don't like you to call me a child of the devil, but I really am not sure that I can lay claim to being a child of God. Let me tell you something. There are no other options, but you have an invitation to become a child of God. And that is really good news. I mean, that is wonderful news. Because your past does not have to dictate your future. Where you're coming from and what you've been through isn't the final story. None of us, please hear me, none of us started out as children of God. Read Ephesians 2. All of us were at one time destined for wrath. That's where we all started. So it's not like, well, there are the good people and there are the bad people. There are children of God, children of the devil. You're a child of the devil, get out of here. No. All of us at one time were in the same situation. And God, who is rich in mercy, sent his Son to save us.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
I grew up hearing the gospel and believing the gospel. I trusted in Christ at an early age. I'm very grateful that the Lord in his mercy drew me to himself when I was still very young. But I have learned so much over the years that I did not know early on about the Father's love. And some of the things that God has done in order to show me the truth of his love came through the birth and life of my oldest son. Paul was born with spina bifida and hydrocephalus. And as a result, he's had to have a lot of medical care along the way. He's had over 30 surgeries. In the last 3 years, he's had 8 brain surgeries. Many of you have prayed for him and for us as we've gone through that time. Early on, I often had to hold Paul while the doctors worked on him. And as you might imagine, that was hard on him and it was hard on me. Because he would cry, sometimes scream, and beg for me to intervene. For me to not let them do that. And instead of not letting them do that, I had to hold him still so they could do that. And it tore me up. And it, for years, put a real cloud on my relationship with Paul. And by the way, I asked his permission to share this. And he said yes. But I want you to understand something. The reason that I held Paul for the doctors to work on him was not because I didn't love him. It was because I loved him. And I love him still. The reason I said no to him was not because I didn't love him. It was because I love him. And through those experiences, God began to teach me that when he says no to my cries, it's not because he doesn't love me. It's because he loves me. And he knows what is best for me. Another experience I had with Paul along those lines during the early years of his life was when I was facing a decision with a surgery that in some ways was elective. It was not a surgery Paul had to have in order to live. It was a surgery that Paul needed in hopes of having a better life. We didn't know if it would work, but the doctors felt there was a good shot. And so let's try. That was really agonizing for me because when the doctors say we've got to do this or your child will die, I feel like I have no choice. When the doctors say he doesn't have to have this, but we think it'll help make his life better, then I've got to make a tough call. My wife and I had prayed about it. We'd concluded that God was saying, yes, go ahead with it. And so I'm driving along the beltway around Boston. Paul's already at Children's Hospital, and I'm on my way to see him. And I said, God, you know the only reason that I am allowing my son to suffer this way is because I love him. And God said, just remember the reason that I let my son suffer and die is because I love you. I had to pull my car off the road. I couldn't see anymore. That God would love me enough to send his son. I'd already believed the gospel. I'd already proclaimed the gospel. But suddenly I was experiencing the gospel. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. But I do know this. I know that God knows. I know that God knows everything about each of us and cares for us more than we can imagine. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus for you. For you. To give you a brand new life. Where everything that stood against you is nailed to the cross. And now you are invited to come as God's dearly loved child. You heard that at the beginning of this passage, the literal meaning of the words that are used is, from what country is this love? This is different. This is foreign. How could God love us like that? It is amazing. Well, the consequence of receiving that love, we read immediately in that same verse, is that those who've received that love from God now become foreigners in this world. We're not like this place either. We're different. We saw that in the response of God's people in Charleston to a shooter. How can people say, I forgive you? The reason is because they've been forgiven and they know it. When we have received God's love, His love now resides in us. And that's why if you don't love your brother, the love of God is not in you. You're not His child. God is love. So how could we receive Him and not love? If we are God's children, then everything is changed. My destiny is changed. I'm no longer headed for destruction. Folks, we are on our way to the Father's house where we're going to be all together with all our brothers and sisters from all time forever. I don't know what your history is, but God wants you to know what He's like. Philip in John 14 said, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus replied, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me? I tell you the truth, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1 both tell us that Jesus perfectly shows us who the Father is and what the Father's like. We see, even in His interactions with the Father, what the Father's like. One of my sons pointed out to me that before Jesus began His public ministry, when He came up from the waters of baptism, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He didn't have to do something in order to earn the blessing of His Father. The blessing of His Father was pronounced on the basis of relationship, who He is. Folks, if you're in Christ Jesus, you have the Father's blessing right now. What love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like Him. I am so glad I'm not going to be like this forever. And I'm not just talking about my body. I'm talking about my personality. I'm talking about my intellect. I'm talking about my spirit. I'm talking about the fact that after all these years of knowing Jesus, I still have a long way to go. But beloved people, please understand, God will take us across the finish line. Hallelujah. I am so glad God doesn't say, okay, well, I'll get you started, but the rest is up to you. It's not. He'll carry us through. But take some time this morning and make sure you're running the race. Make sure you're headed in the right direction. Make sure you're trusting in Christ and in Him alone, and that as a result, His nature, His character is being increasingly manifested in you, because that's the test. The doctrinal test, the ethical test, the relational test. If it's not there, don't pretend. But don't just not pretend. Receive. Receive Him. Cry out to Him for mercy. Ask Him this day. to save you. He will. That's why he came. He loves you. He loves you more than you can imagine.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.